905. End of season 9.
Fully 10 feet high, despite a shambling, crouching attitude expressive of infinite cosmic malignancy, a monstrosity of unbelievable horror was shown, staring toward from a cyclopean ivory throne covered with grotesque carvings. At the center pair of its 6 legs, it bore a crushed, flattened, distorted, bloodless thing, riddled with 1,000,000 punctures, and in places seared with some pungent acid. Only the mangled head of the victim, lolling upside down at one side, revealed that it represented something once human. The monster itself needed no title, for one who had seen a certain hellish photograph. That damnable print had been all too faithful, yet it could not carry the full horror which lay in the gigantic actuality, the globular torso, the bubble-like suggestion of a head, and 3 fishy eyes, the foot-long proboscis, the bulging gills, the monstrous capillation of asp-like suckers, the 6 sinuous limbs with their black paws and crab-like claws. God, the familiarity of that black paw ending in a crab-like claw. Ooh, spooky!
Ran to Goth, the poetry of Donald Wandry.
This episode is brought to you by BunnySlippers.com. Subscribe to PGTTCM with DB Spitzer and Sarah Fee whenever you subscribe to podcasts. Use Podbean and Apple Podcasts. Some folks use Stitcher.
Check out our new website over at www.pgttcm.com. Check out our new PGTTCM merch over at pgttcm.threadless.com. 2 new shirts. Check out our Rat Fink-inspired Sathagwa shirt and our new Join a Cult shirt. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at PGTTCM and Facebook and YouTube at People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos.
Written and edited by Daniel Spitzer. Audio by Seraphie and Daniel Spitzer. Music by DB Spitzer.
Help the show by sharing, rating, liking, or 5-star giving wherever you listen to or rate podcasts. It really does support the show when you rate us on Apple Podcasts in particular. Right. Support the show by hitting the patron button at pgttcm.podbean.com or by going to paypal.me/pgttcm. Recorded at Badger's Drift Studios in glorious North Portland, Oregon. Want to eat snacks, drink beer, and be on a podcast? Go to pgttcm.com and click Welcome to Portland to find out more. Accepting groups as large as 4 currently, learn the basics of brewing, charcuterie, podcasting, and more. Want to advertise with Black Clock? pgttcm.com/contact to find out more.
The Horror in the Museum is a short story ghostwritten by H.P. Lovecraft for Somerville, Massachusetts writer Hazel Heald in October 1932. Published in 1933, is one of the 5 stories Lovecraft revised for Heald. The story has been reprinted in several collections, such as The Horror in the Museum and other revisions.
The tale concerns the relationship between Stephen Jones and George Rogers, the owner of a private wax museum specializing in the grotesque. Initially cordial, it degenerates as Jones first mocks Rogers, then comes to suspect that he is demented with his wild tales and suggestions of rites and sacrifices to nameless elder gods. Jones takes up Rogers' standing offer to spend a night in the museum and is attacked by his host, who is in turn killed by the entity Ron Tagoth that he has been making sacrifices to, and ends up becoming part of the displays. We cover this story in the 3rd season.
Ron Tagoth is an amphibious ape-like great old one featured in Lovecraft's Horror at the Museum, as we mentioned. It is a big old globular thing with 6 limbs ending in crab-like claws. Atop of a sphere, it has 3 eyes and a foot-long trunk, also gills, apparently. Rantagoth is covered with small tentacles, but it kind of looks like fur until you get up close, and you're like, oh, that's, It comes from Yuggoth, also known as Pluto, where the Mego live. and is probably related to or the child of Shub-Niggurath, the goat with 1,000 young, according to, I don't know, the internet. It kills its sacrifices by crushing them and puncturing them with its tentacles, and then it uses its acid to suck its flesh away.
Wow. Ran T'Gath at one time lived in a massive temple in the northern areas of the Arctic. A huge staircase of non-human size reached down 3 levels to a large room where Ran T'Gath sat on an ivory throne. There he was fed pre-human sacrifices by unknown entities over 3 million years ago. Without the sacrifices, the thing goes into a deep sleep that only more sacrifices can break. Somehow, the long ritual in the eighth Nakotic manuscript gives some clues as how to discover this temple.
We had audio of Ken Height, but mea culpa. Due to operator malfunction, I lost a huge chunk of audio that I have not been able to recover. I spent a good chunk of this morning trying to recover Ken Height talking about Ran T'Gath, but we'll get him back on the show next month when we're talking about Athagwa, Wendigos, and other horror monsters, space monsters that are chilly and of the frozen north.
Well, that'll be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it will be fun. Again, you got to watch me panic. I was like, okay, now that we're done listening to Donald Wandry's poetry, let's listen to Ken Height talk about Ran T'Gath.
And then it just wasn't there.
It wasn't there.
So frustrating.
Yeah, it was a little frustrating, but it's happened to me before. Mm-hmm. And hey, if you want to help us have better equipment that has more memory space so I don't have to like delete things all the time, please donate to People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos, Black Clock Audio Tales by going to paypal.me/pgttcm. Mm-hmm. Donations really do help. We have a patron program, but we really haven't set it up. Not even Patreon, because we do have a Patreon that we don't use. But we do have a patron program that's kind of set up through Podbean that you can always set up and do a monthly thing for us and you'll get something in the future, I swear.
Well, we have several like things in the making anyway.
There are several things in the making. There's the stickers, there's t-shirts, there's coloring books that I'm actually working on currently.
There's some extra audio that hasn't been lost.
No. No, there isn't.
Well, you can edit that part out.
There isn't any extra audio that hasn't been lost.
So once we get some patron money,
we'll be able to have some better storage.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway, but yeah, so if you want to help out and keep bad things like this from happening, we'd love to say your name at the end, the beginning and end of every episode.
Yes, we would.
All right. So we listened to some Donald Wandry.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Some Donald Wandry poetry. It was really interesting.
Yeah. I had fun listening to it. I was like, well, okay. You know, sometimes people send me stuff. It doesn't make the show. If I don't like it, it doesn't make the show. Or I have someone else read it.
Well, I mean, this one was really, it was, so it's a CD we were listening to, which let me tell you, we're in that spot in our lives where technologically speaking, where it's like, okay, we've got to charge this particular computer so then we can listen to a CD.
Yes.
Anyway, so listening to it was really, it was atmospheric, it's well read.
Yeah.
And also like the themes in each poem is really, they're really engaging.
Yeah. And you really get a sense that Donald Wandry's poetry is everything from like spooky skeletons and chains to like a wizardly kind of like everything's purple.
Oh, that was really a cool one. I like the everything's purple one.
And then like,
because it was like, it wasn't just like, it was like purple this and purple that, but then also there was the use of the word empurpled and violet and, you know, it's just very evocative. And the poem itself is called Purple. So it really sells what it is.
The poems themselves tend to be very evocative. And I think this would be great for like something to put on in the background during like Halloween for sure. And I don't know if I mentioned that it's a CD of Donald Wandry's work. Could you hand that CD to me there? All right. It is Sonnets of the Midnight Hours and Other Poems by Donald Wandry. Read by Roger Gerberding and
good
music.
Reader.
What's that?
He's a good reader.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. And music by Graham Plowman, which you don't notice at first.
Yeah.
And then it becomes part of it. And you're like, whoa, this is really
together.
Good. Yeah.
And the music is kind of continuous from one poem to the next because each poem is about like 2 to 3 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you're just getting into the, you know, you're like, I don't know, like you got to listen to at least 4 of them together because.
Hey, Sarah, you want to know the truth?
Yeah.
None of those poems are over 2 minutes long.
No.
Yes. They're atmospheric and they just draw you in. Yeah. No, that's the truth of it.
Yeah.
And it's produced by Fendogan and Bremer, who we've gotten some really nice books from in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, no, they're all always really nice quality products.
For sure.
I really like what they have to put out and what they've been putting out.
And like this one is really cool. It's just, you know, like also I just want to say kudos to being able to use sonnets in a modern setting when you're not talking about William Shakespeare, because double thumbs up on that one.
Sure.
And it was, I don't know, like it made me want to like go and make applesauce and listen to spooky poems, like because it's a fall activity, you know.
Yes.
You know, as the year is dying, it's time to like really think about the like veil between the worlds, as he talks about in the midnight hour, etc.
Definitely.
You know, it's like it feeds into that whole feeling, you know, and then go out and crunch some leaves.
Yeah. And I just want to put this out there.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should stop thinking about like just like Halloween being the end of like spooky times, because man.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, does it get dark after Halloween? Halloween just feels like the gateway to spooky times.
Well,
it's like, oh, it's getting nice and autumny. Uh-huh. It's like, let's bake some things and everything's like harvest season and all that.
Geez.
And then it gets dark.
Well, that's
and
part
cold.
Of that's part of why we have a midwinter festival, you know.
Oh yeah.
Like,
oh yeah.
You know, lots of cultures
right,
around the world.
Let's bust out all the butter and cream and sugar, everybody.
Well, yeah, but it's not just that. It's also like it's so dark and we're all facing starvation and death
and cold
for months, and it's like that's part of why like January is one of my least favorite months, is because it's like the end of January is just a slog.
Oh yeah.
Just a slog.
Yeah, well, if you want something that's not a slog, I highly recommend this.
It was really fun.
Oh man, this is
to.
Good. It's like stuff of it reminds me of like poets we know.
Oh yeah.
Like like the Crimson Circle.
Oh yes.
Out of California and Oregon with K.A. Opperman and Adam and all those good fun folk.
Yes.
Who we're gonna see at the H.P. Lovecraft Film Festival
really
in October.
Fun. Yay!
I get to say mea culpa to Ken in person
for
losing his audio.
Oh, my goodness. Does he record it separately?
What's that?
Does he record it separately?
No. Okay. I record it all on my end.
Doubles boo.
Yep. Am I still recording? Yes, I am.
Woohoo!
All right. So, let's see. Next month, we're talking about Athagwa. We're talking about the Bronte sisters.
Ooh.
Ooh. And I know you prefer Jane Eyre over the Bronte sisters.
Nope,
but
I don't prefer Jane Eyre.
I mean, not Jane Eyre. You prefer Jane Austen.
Yes.
Jane Eyre is Bronte.
I mean, yeah, exactly. And that's like, I mean, I just want to be clear with you. I have not read a lot of Bronte sisters, one or the other, because I read Jane Eyre in high school and I was so mad at it that and you know, it's possible that given some other story, I might be more into it, but just like the whole thing about Jane Eyre being this like person who's just so, I don't know, like, it just didn't seem fair for her to, like, give up her whole life for this guy who was just such an asshole. Anyway.
Yeah, neither did. She didn't think it was fair either. That's why the book exists. All right. So we've had a pretty good episode.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean.
Yes, it's been lovely.
There was the whole.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, lost audio thing, but we'll recover from that.
Well, and you know, here's the deal. I really love talking to you on this podcast. This is fun. It's always fun to like talk about what we're talking about.
Yeah, no. And it's actually given you a chance to talk more since, you know, we've been letting Ken Height and David Heath and everyone else do the heavy lifting lately.
Well,
it's nice for us to get back on the mic. But, If you want to hear other people, let us know. We really do want to hear your feedback, unless you're being mean, and then
yeah.
No, I mean, trolling. You know, be constructive.
That's right. Be constructive. Mm-mm. Thanks for listening, everyone. Keep it squiggly and stay weird.
Check out our new website over at www.pgttcm.com and check out new PGTTCM, that's People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos, if you weren't paying attention, over at pgttcm.threadless.com. Two new shirts. Check out the Ratfink-inspired Sathagwa shirt and our new Join a Cult shirt. Donate some coin, caps, credits, or whatever flat currency from your favorite sci-fi fantasy setting to paypal.me/PGTTCM. Money helps keep the show going. Get your name in the credits. Also, message me on Facebook so I know about it. I'm just one person running this podcast stream. Thank you so much for listening for the last 4 years. This show is what I want it to be, except for when I drop the audio. See you in Series 10, everybody.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Anything you want to say? I mean, you've now been on the show for two series.
I mean,
or at least two or three series. You've been with the show since 60-something, I think.
Well, yeah, and I have to say this month also marks my 2-year anniversary of recording periodically with the show, and I have to say, yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, no, it's been pretty amazing. We didn't actually air any of what I recorded until October.
Oh yeah,
2 years ago. But this month is when we started that experiment.
Yeah.
And I feel like for me as a person, I have grown in confidence being able to talk on the mic, but it's also been really exciting to get more into this, like, you know, user created content, you know, like entertainment sphere.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm right now like planning on starting maybe a vlog, maybe, or a YouTube channel of some of my stuff. A lot of the stuff that I'm personally interested in has a visual element to it.
So sure, sure.
Doing that on YouTube would probably be better. But recording, it's just so much fun. It's just so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I've definitely been having a ton of fun recording with you. And also, I just want to say that it's been nice because having you around for like conventions and stuff.
Oh yeah, that's fun too.
I'm generally like too busy trying to like get stuff recorded or do things, do this and do that, and it's nice to have someone who's, you know, there to talk to people and like hand out stickers and like help out with the show, at least just with like the live stuff. And I hope we do more live stuff in the future.
Yes.
And if anyone wants to come and see a live show, if you're going to be in Portland, we're going to try and do some more live shows, or we're going to try and at least do a live show. We've scheduled two, and just like nothing's come of it, unfortunately.
Yes.
But we will hopefully be doing a September show for friends and family.
Yes.
So if you want to be a part of that, if you want to check out what's going on. Friends and family of the show. So, you know, if you want to be a part of it, if you want to see what's going on, if you have something to contribute, if you want to read something, if you're in the Portland area, if you want to send something in, if you want to Skype in while we're doing a live show, we'll figure it out. We'll make it happen.
Yes.
Thanks again for listening, everyone. You know, squiggly. Do
and
it.
Weird.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.